Before we kick off our celebration tomorrow and Sunday, it's good that we contemplate afresh and anew the cost of our redemption. And on the one hand, we sing songs today about the cross and about the blood. We think about that old rugged cross, and we think about the horrors of crucifixion. But on the other hand, if we were to go back in time 2,000 years ago, we would find that there was nothing unique about the crucifixion of Jesus. Even today, there are many people who would regard the crucifixion of Jesus as just another day at the office for the Romans. Scholars estimate that between 100 and 150,000 people were crucified during the days of the Roman Empire. On one particular day, 6,000 people were crucified along one of the major highways in the Roman Empire. So crucifixion was just another day at the office for the Romans. And so there's a sense in which when we look at the crucifixion of Jesus, there was really nothing unique about it. He was one of hundreds of thousands of people. And if you are a student of history, you may be wondering even today, why would we make such a big deal out of this one crucifixion? What is it about the crucifixion of Jesus that still has us talking and singing today? Why do we give such emphasis to the cross, knowing that hundreds of thousands of people were crucified on one? And the answer to those questions are not tied to a cross at all, but to the person in Jesus who was crucified on one. The cross is only special to Christians because Jesus was crucified on one. Jesus is the one that we worship today. And the fact that God chose a wooden Roman cross to be the instrument of his torture and death is secondary to the reality of who Jesus is and what he accomplished on that wooden cross. And so as we think today on this very special day about what makes Jesus' death so unique and what makes his death so special, we need to understand it really has little to do with the cross, and it has everything to do with who Jesus is and what he accomplished in our place. In other words, the cross is special to us because Jesus is special to us, and that is the place that he died. And so, on this very special day, what was special about Jesus' death and what makes the cross a symbol of our hope? Well, that was a question people were asking even in the first century. Given the thousands upon thousands of people who were crucified, without a doubt, there were some wondering, well, what makes this Jesus of Nazareth's crucifixion so different and, dare I say, so special? And the Apostle Paul, writing to the people who lived in Colossae, he actually answers the question. Let me show you what he says. He's going to give us a snapshot of why Jesus' death was so special and why the cross, therefore, is special to us 2,000 years later. Here's what he says. When you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him, and he forgave all of our trespasses. Now, let me just emphasize here what ought to be the contemplation of our hearts right now in this moment, that Jesus came to redeem a people who were not sick or crippled spiritually, a people who were wayward, a people who were confused, a people who were under some type of misguided direction. No. To be clear, today we contemplate the gravity of the fact that we were spiritually dead, incapable of a relationship with God, incapable of making it through any day, conscious of the God who we regularly offend and the God who we are accountable to, incapable of trying to turn from our rebellion and our pride to love and serve this God who's created us in his image. And so Paul makes it clear we were dead, and all of us today who are without Christ are spiritually dead, and that spiritual death will manifest itself into eternal punishment on the day of judgment. We're dead. Paul says you were dead in your trespasses. You weren't sick. You weren't crippled. You weren't misguided. You were dead. You were under rebellion. You had no interest in knowing God, loving God, serving God, living for his glory, right? Setting a trajectory for your life that would glorify him. You were dead without hope. Dead people do not pursue God. It is impossible. Do you understand this? Impossible. And so God had to intervene, and he did so by sending his son Jesus to this earth on our behalf. And look at verse 14. Let me show you here the next statement that Paul makes. This is now what makes Jesus' death so special to us. And I hope today special to you. Because as we were dead in our trespasses, and as a measure of his incredible grace, here's what he did. On the cross now, he erased by his death the certificate of debt that we owe with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and he has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. This is why the cross is special to us. Because on the cross, Jesus, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, was nailed there in place of ourselves. And his death was unique in this sense. He was innocent. Not even the Roman leaders could find fault in him. Jesus was innocent, but not just of these trumped up charges from the Jewish officials. He was purely, truly innocent in every respect, without sin, without guile, without selfishness. He gave himself in our place as a righteous substitute for our sin. And when he was nailed on that cross and he suffered and ultimately died, he took upon himself the wrath of God that we deserve for our sin and our rebellion, and he made payment for the debt that we owed. And Paul says, don't you love how he phrases this? That Jesus on the cross erased, canceled our certificate of death. That word erased, listen to me, or canceled, is used only 5 times in the Bible, all in the New Testament. Check this out. The last place it is used is in Revelation 21, where John says, one day at the appearing of Jesus, he will, you ready for this? He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Do you know what that word literally is? He will cancel our tears. We think, oh, he's gonna wipe away. No. He's gonna do more than wipe away our tears. You know what he's gonna do with our tears? He's gonna cancel them out. There'll never be a need for us to cry over losing a loved one ever again. We'll never have to weep over a cancer diagnosis ever again. We'll never have to shed a tear over an act of betrayal ever again. When Jesus returns in all of his glory, he will, same word, cancel out every tear from our eyes. And that day is possible because on the cross, through his death and taking upon himself the curse of our sin and rebellion, canceled out the debt that we owe. Paul uses a word that we translate as certificate of debt. Only this time in the Bible, only place it occurs in all the Bible. And you know what we would better translate it as? A receipt. Don't you find it odd today that in a digital society, we still get receipts for everything? I went to Dunkin' Donuts the other day because I love the Lord and I enjoy his blessings. And I bought a donut for $1 and they gave me a receipt. And I thought, under what circumstance would I ever need to prove that this transaction happened? My wife's like, where were you this morning? I'm like, honey, I went through Dunkin', got a donut. Oh, no, you did not. Don't you? And no, you did not, me. I got the receipt right here. Do you find it odd that we still get paper receipts for everything today? I do. But they got them 2,000 years ago. There were ways of solidifying transactions. 2,000 years before that, people used to take off their sandals and hand it to each other. You know what Paul says is so awesome about the death of Jesus and unique and special and why we're still celebrating it on days like today? Because on that Roman cross, which in and of itself had no special designation, it was just an instrument of torture and death, but on that chosen instrument of torture and death, Jesus gave his life for us in our place, and he took upon himself the wrath of God in our place. And when he did that, God poured out his wrath on Jesus so that through faith in him, he doesn't have to pour it out on you. Amen? And when Jesus took upon that wrath in your place and mine, you know what he did? This is what Paul's saying. He took that receipt that contained every sin you ever have or ever will commit, and he shredded it. He tore it up. You say, does God really have that receipt? Oh, he has it. And if you don't know Jesus today as your Savior, you're still printing out that receipt. And I don't know how long that receipt is on me, but I can tell you this, it's at least a mile long. Every sinful action I've ever committed, every selfish act, every sinful, selfish thought I've harbored in my mind, every sinful word or act that I've carried out in my mind or in my body, can you just imagine for a moment if God were to give us a glimpse of that receipt, how long it would be? And Paul says, you wanna know why the death of Jesus is so special? Because on the cross, when Jesus took the wrath of God in your place and mine, he took that receipt and he tore it up. So that now when God, come on, yes, we can celebrate that, come on. So that now when God looks at you, the Father, and he sees you as a person who's put your faith in Christ and you've asked for his forgiveness and you've committed to live for him because he's the only person in life ultimately worth living for, he has secured for us all eternity, and we'll turn and we'll share eternity with him. And so when the Father sees us now as his sons and daughters, having put our faith in Christ, he doesn't see the receipt anymore. He only sees the righteousness of Jesus. And on Jesus' sin receipt, there's nothing listed. So on your receipt now, there's nothing listed. You know why? Because Jesus' righteousness has covered your sin. His death has atoned for your sin. He's taken the wrath of God in your place and mine. He's canceled out the receipt, so that today we can live in hope and victory. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, the only hope you'll ever have for an eternity without judgment is to put your faith in Christ and receive the forgiveness that he offers through his substitutionary death. And then let me give you the last part before we go, and then we kick off the celebration. We have to have a little glimpse of what's coming, right? Here's what Paul says in finishing up why the death of Jesus is so special to us and why we have crosses hanging around our necks and maybe in our ears or in our homes. Here's why he says, not only did Jesus, right, make us alive through his death by canceling out the receipt of our sins. But here's what else he did. He showed off a little bit in the process. He disarmed the rulers and authorities like Satan and his legions, and he disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him. And when Jesus, this is what we're going to get a little excited about tomorrow and Sunday. I'm not going to get too excited today. I'm trying really hard not to get too excited now. But tomorrow it is on. Are you with me? Sunday morning, it is on. Because Paul says Jesus' death is special because he gives us life, although we're dead, through his substitutionary atoning death, receiving the wrath of God in our place so that he can cancel out that long receipt of our sin and welcome us as sons and daughters. And then, here's what's coming. This is what he did on the cross, and this is what he did in the resurrection. He walked out of that grave, and he was just showing off. And he's like, you got Satan and all his legions there, right? And I'm not going to get too excited, but he's just like he disarmed them. He triumphed over them, and he publicly disgraced them. So that today we live in this victory, that there is no power greater than the power of Jesus in our lives. And there is no enemy that can ever trump him, right? He won. And Paul's like, man, he's talking to a Roman society, and the Romans used to do this. They used to parade their enemies naked through the streets, carrying the plunder from their battles. The Roman Senate would constitute a day known as a Roman triumph, where a victorious general who has killed at least 6,000 people in battle could have this parade. And you got generals and officials naked through the streets, being humiliated, embarrassed, the Romans cheering on their victorious general. Marveling at the plunder, and Paul says, hey, you think that's something? You have no idea what Jesus accomplished when he came out of that grave. He disarmed Satan. He now has no power over God's children. He disgraced them publicly, and he has secured an eternal home for his people. And so, this is why Good Friday is so special to us, and why we still talk about a Roman cross, not as an instrument of torture and death, but as the means that God the Father chose as the instrument of salvation for you and me. And it's only special because Jesus is special in what he did there. And tearing up that receipt and parading over his enemies, securing victory for all who believe. And so before we get to tomorrow and Sunday, hey, let's be a grateful people today. Because what Jesus has done for you and for me is the greatest gift, and it meets our greatest need. And so we're gonna celebrate that today through observing the supper, right? And so let me encourage you to take your Lord's Supper kit that you received. And we're gonna share in this meal together. That is an act of worship whereby we say, Jesus, thank you for your life. Thank you for your sinlessness. Thank you for your substitutionary death, the blood that you shed for us. Jesus, thank you. And we start with the bread, representing just the broken body of Jesus that was necessary for us. We think of the flesh that was torn from his body. We think of his sinless life that meets all of the righteous demands of the Father. And we say, Jesus, thank you for your life, for your body broken for us. We receive this today as Jesus told us to receive it in remembrance of him. And then we have the cup. As I've mentioned before, this cup is very intentional. It is, in this case, grape juice, because you only get grape juice or wine one way you got to crush some grapes. And today, what we drink is just a symbol of what happened to our Lord through the crushing that he endured in our place. The shedding of his blood, the receiving of God's wrath. We receive this today as our only hope of salvation. We receive it as Jesus taught us to receive it. As the new covenant of his blood, we drink it in remembrance of him. And so, Father, we say thank you today for the blood of your Son that was shed for us in our place, that canceled out the receipt containing all of the ways that we've offended you. We thank you today that salvation's made available, that eternal life made available, that there's hope beyond the grave, that one day, Father, in the same way you canceled out all of our sin, you will cancel out all of our tears. And Father, we look forward to that day. And we say thank you today for what it took to redeem us and the fact that you willingly accomplished it even though we did not deserve it. And so I pray that today we will be a grateful people filled with your Spirit. And if there is anyone here today, anyone with us online today that doesn't know you, God, I pray that today they would look to you in saving faith, ask for your forgiveness, commit to live for you, and that by the power of what Christ has accomplished for us, you would save them. For we love you, dear Father. And again, we thank you for what you have done for us. We pray it in Jesus' name.